Greetings and welcome once again to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 will serve as our text this morning, but we'll begin with verse 33 to get the whole context. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, the day of judgment is a reference to the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment that is reserved for unbelievers. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Only unbelievers will be in that place. Their words will be judged against the pure words of the Lord, that is, his inspired scriptures. And I believe that one of the books which will be opened up and then that in that place will be the book of the word of the Lord, which we hold in our hands this morning. And by it, the works and the words of men will be judged. In the works and the words of men will be judged imperfect. There will be shame in store for the one with hardened speech in that day. The wicked in heart, with the mouth in need of being washed out with soap, will not be so arrogant in that day as it is today. For the believer, the true Christian, we know that the Bible says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And further, Jesus says that they will be justified by their words. In what way, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. No condemnation, no shame. So let us all breathe a collective sigh of relief. If every man had to give account for every word that he spoke before entering heaven, I would imagine that the queue would get so backed up that we would be in danger of running out of time in eternity. So thank God for his mercy. There is forgiveness for idle words, for those who believe, but on the other hand, loss of potential reward and loss of communion with the Lord in the now time. Now let us consider every idle word men may speak in the larger context of Matthew chapter 12. Every idle word is connected with those words which are spoken against God the Son or against God the Holy Spirit. Maybe not so directly, but they are spoken in a manner that they are the opposite of that which God proclaims and desires and affirm His holiness. Now we expect unbelievers to indulge in all manner of wicked speech. We expect vulgarity, coarse talking, joking, and those things. But let it not be so among you who are the household of God. Here is our application then. Let us not dismiss unpleasant statements in the Bible as being applicable only to others. But rather, let us be careful to learn what we may. You see, the temptation here is to say, well, when the Lord said this, He's talking about the idle words, the unbelievers are going to be judged. Well, good for them, but there's no condemnation for me, so I'm good. That ought never to be the attitude of the blood-bought believer. For we know that being righteous through Christ, even so we are said to be, quote, scarcely saved. What does that mean? But for the grace of God go we. A tree is known by its fruit. Now I speak further to you good trees in my hearing. Hopefully we got a lot of good trees here in the pews this morning. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Friends, we are called to be faithful witnesses, both by our actions and by our words. And beware what you say in secret. You might have learned in this day of technology and recording devices that even when you think, what you say will never be heard, passed along, and repeated. Just assume it will be. Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. See, sound waves have a way of traveling. As we said, in this day of technology, more than ever, and there's always somebody, some wicked individual, who's got it in for you. They don't like you for some reason. Perhaps because you don't yet have gray hair. Or some other reason. Maybe they don't like your politics. So we've got to be, they don't like your religion. We've got to be very, very careful, because friends, know this, your sin will find you out. Your words, once released, cannot be retrieved. They are out there. Whether they be graceful words speaking of God's grace or malicious words cutting people down, those people you say that you love and that you see every Sunday and greet as brother and sister, those neighbors that you honk your horn at and wave to and smile and snarl at in your kitchen. The result of those words going out and getting out can only be one thing: strife. Furthermore, be very careful what you put online, for every idle word will come back to haunt you. On our church website, firmfoundationri.com, you will find over 300 hours of spoken words and about the same in written words. There's a brother here who is in the habit of listening to those things which I said 13 and 14 years ago. And he'll come to me and he'll say, "Remember in your sermon that you preached on July 23rd, 2010, you said this." And immediately I'm saying, "Boy, I hope I didn't say anything wrong, because I don't remember what I said." But it's out there. And if I were to delete those things, somebody could probably Google in, you know, sermon, Firm Foundation RI sermon, and put in the date and put in my name, and the thing would still come up, even though I thought I got rid of it, because I didn't say something quite right. Half of these things which are spoken are written in Bible words. So we have no problem when we speak the things that are in the Bible, when we write the things that are in the Bible. That's why I always teach the fellas that when you come up here and you preach, try to get as many Bible words as you can, because you can't mess those up. You can mess up all the rest of them, but you're not going to be able to mess up the Bible words, because those are pure words. What words are on your social media accounts? What words are on your posts? What words are on your shares? What words are those spoken of by those that you call your online friends? You know, the ones that'll come up in the margins or pop-ups or whatever happens. Are these things really godly? Do they glorify God? I don't know, because I choose to avoid social media altogether. Keeps me out of trouble. Might keep you out of a little bit of trouble too. But I digress. Let's read what James says about the matter in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is probably the longest didactic discourse concerning speech that we find in the New Testament. And there's debate among scholars as to whether James was actually the first New Testament book penned by a human author. I tend to Matthew, but some will say James, and that's okay. They have the right to their opinion, even though they're wrong. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. That was a joke, friends. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So if somebody believes that they don't stumble in all of their speech and that everything that they say is perfect, they're liars. And right there and then they've broken the ninth commandment. They're done. James goes on to say, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast, bird, reptile, and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. And what that means is the likeness of God. Men have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Friends, these things ought to humble us and cause us to seek God's help and to deliberate carefully before we speak any and every word. It is a characteristic of a wise man to listen and to take in what he hears and then to pause before answering. Trust me, doing so will keep you out of much trouble. And as it is written in Proverbs, to paraphrase, he who shoots off the lip will be entrapped, ensnared by the words that come out of his mouth. We are all wretched sinners, truth be told, in need of a Savior, and comforted by his words. And we do well to take them to heart and to pass them along. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And our Lord, the only one who ever was and is a perfect man, said this: the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That's what it means to speak life. You may have heard people use that phrase. And again, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. And that would include politicians and lawyers and such. But guess what? That could include you and I, too, at times. When we speak, are we speaking our own mind and for our own glory? But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. When you speak, do you speak intentionally that God may be glorified and that truth may be exalted? I think we have enough to be challenged and to find some words that we've spoken to repent of. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, who came as an example and speaks the life of the gospel, that we can know that we are sinners, that we might know what sin is, that we might know that we ought to repent and believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, that we might have peace with the Father. Lord, too many times in our lives, perhaps even this past week, perhaps even this morning, as we got ready and came to church, we have spoken words that we ought not to have spoken impulsively or in anger or without thought or even indifferently. We blew somebody off because we had to look beautiful for the service this morning. But we were short with our wife, our mother, our children, that one we love. Lord, help us. And even as we hope to receive mercy when we apologize to men, we know that we will receive forgiveness with you. But Lord, let us not count our words, our speech, as a trifling thing, taking it for granted that just because they are forgiven, that they are little sins. Lord, teach us to consider our words and teach us that we might glorify you through them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.